Sturgoy.
Zach 2.0.
Sturzak.
Sturzak 2.
Sturgoy.
2.0.
Sturzak
2.0.
Sturzak.
Sturgoy.
Zach 2.0.
Sturzak.
Sturzak.
Sturgoy.
2.0.
Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name is Bubba. You can find me on Twitter when I'm not in the Dakotas.
Hey.
Or in 1800s jolly old England. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And with me as always
is somebody
who I keep inviting him to the cabin in Montana, but he won't come with me. It's Mork. Mork, how you doing?
I'm doing so good, Bubba. And if people want to find me on Twitter, they can do it at Extraordinary. That's Extraordinary with the W in front of the final R. I am so excited tonight. Bubba, we're going to see if iCourse picked up any camping skills. We're gonna learn the true lessons of love from the master. Some great child-rearing tips in 19th-century London.
There's
a lot of informative, interesting, and most importantly, entertaining things to talk about.
I love that you say entertaining, Mark, because we've got to start with your ranking for this. The final season of The Strain, it is Season 4, Episode 6, Tainted Love. There are only four more episodes left in the entire run of The Strain after this, Mark. What are you going to give to Episode 6? Tainted Love.
I'm going to give it
eight.
Double E's.
Double E's?
That's right. That's what I like to refer to as electric boogalooing iCourse. When he dodged those bullets.
Oh, yeah.
He was moving. He was grooving. It was pretty impressive to see him. It was nice to see him. I don't know how he got into the woods. I don't really care, but he basically walked there or ran there from New York City.
He doesn't know how to drive. No.
God bless him. I mean, he's used to the finer things, so he put the people to work, but he had to maneuver a little bit around the campfire to get there. So what about you, Bubba?
Well, Mork, it was just two episodes ago when the master told iCourse,
yes,
Ephraim Goodweather is in Philadelphia.
Oh.
I want you to find him.
And so the next episode, what did iCourse do?
He
went to the New York City processing / baby making plant and taunted Dutch,
sexy hacker Dutch.
And Satrakian, I'm on drugs, where am I?
Yeah.
He taunted them and got lit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he looks pretty good for having been set on fire.
And so naturally, this third episode, a.k.a. two episodes after the master told him, get to Philadelphia and find out what's going on with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Here he is in Dakota. So because of the logic...
He may have run through Pennsylvania.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But because of that, I am going to give this episode also an 8.
Really?
But my rating is... Not yours. I give this 8 triple P's out of 10.
Triple P's?
Well, triple P's are something that I got called out as a lot. When I was a young man, they would call me a petulant puberty pervert. And in honor of Zach, that was me.
A peeping petulant puberty pervert.
Listen to me. I did everything right.
You did?
I did everything right in this ranking, and yet people still won't give me iTunes reviews. This is heartbreaking.
Well, that's because we're people. That's because we still
have desires. Way to go.
Oh, jeez Louise. No, he is now... I do want to thank the writers of The Strain because they've given us an official reason to really hate this kid. We've had...
a new one, you mean?
Well, this is an... he's never... You know, look, we've all almost exploded a nuclear weapon.
I mean, come on. Who hasn't?
We've all been there. But to sort of toy with this girl out of revenge and then let her get taken out, eaten by a feeler, and then turned into, you know, his own personal Sturgoy zombie, that's beyond petulant.
It's also
call me old-fashioned, beyond petulant.
I was going to say, it's also how I got my prom date.
Oh, man.
Listeners, we have two things that we want you to do. You are wonderful enough to download this podcast with us. We want you to go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/PP podcast. That's the word double, the single letter P for either petulant.
But only one.
Puberty or pervert. and then the word podcast with an S on it, podcast. So facebook.com/doublepodcast. We want you guys to talk to us about it. We are making light of the episode, as we are wont to do here on the Got Your Milk, the Strain podcast. But obviously from our rankings,
mm-hmm.
this delivers what it should. And even though I love Mock and Zach 2.0,
yeah.
him being so evil is wonderful. I like it so much. I want to hear from you, Strigoi Team 7, you members of the Resistance, you members of the partnership. I'll take both sides. Go to our
Either
Facebook page. I want to hear with you. Have to say about this great episode and what is going to happen in these final four remaining episodes of The Strain entirely. We are at the end of this season, the end of this series. We are giving away the beautiful for your consideration DVD of season 3 with a special Strigoi of Liberty cover on it. It is completely beautiful. All you have to do is go to iTunes and give us a written review. You can't just give us stars. We love stars, but you have to write something. That's how we can put your name in a bowl to be eligible to win. Because I'm about to get a bit sentimental.
We have
spent 4 years having fun with these characters, having fun losing to the master, and there are only 4 more hours left. It is a bit sad.
It is a bit sad, but sometimes over the 4 years, there are times when I felt like the feeler cornering young Abby, and other times I felt like Abby. So but it has been a lot of fun. Now there's only a few storylines. I mean, we didn't get to hang out with Dutch. We didn't get to hang out with F and Alex. We didn't get to hang out with Satrakian. So there's a lot that we're not really sure about.
I think that's a great point.
We didn't get to hang out with the Oxido Lumen.
Oh boy, if only I could interpret the Oxido and read it and translate it.
That is true.
Mork, but I think you have a great point. Here I was mocking Eichhorst just having been burned and roasted alive as Dutch and Satrakian escaped. How could they escape? Yes, they burned Satrakian, but this is a big, important facility. Somehow they escaped. We don't know how. We're just going to assume they did escape.
Right.
F had that great showdown with the master last week. F is there at one of these, you know, farms, human mm-hmm. farms. And so the fact that I enjoyed this episode so much really talks to its strength. The fact that I can still give this an 8 out of 10. I love Satrakian.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's not in this episode, that shows how good it was.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why it was fun to watch was just because we've been so spread out, and mm-hmm. so it's been hard to sort of get into a story. So, like, in some ways, I mean, they were really only, you know, two stories going on, because a lot of it was going on, you know, in Quinlan's memory. And this might have been my favorite flashback of all of the many, many, many flashbacks we've had.
You know what? It might have been. It was in season 1, episode 2, when I said to Mork, you know, they haven't mentioned Got Your Milk again like they did in the pilot, which we named our podcast after.
Well, it'll come back eventually.
So, you like this flashback the best of Mr. Quinlan?
It's not my second best flashback, Bubba. That was masterful. It made sense. I think we learned a little bit about each character. We didn't really have this was fresh knowledge. Should we maybe spend a little bit of time in jolly old England and talk about what went down there?
We could.
But we
and
won't.
I want to give a special we could. But before we do that, I want to give a special shout out to our double L's.
Double L's?
Mork, we have been doing this 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know the double L's.
Doesn't feel like it.
You know that double L's stands for, let's all say it together, 1, 2, 3. Louisa.
That's a low blow.
Okay, sorry. So let's go to jolly old England, Louisa and Lydia.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that this is my favorite flashback, but what this one did very well is it built upon the knowledge we knew, and it told a contained story, and it had some tragedy in it that would have to have happened for Mr. Quinlan to be the way he is, to almost be jealous of Fett and Charlotte's emotions and closeness and warmth. And so I did like it. I'm not sure it provided us too much new information. We're here. We're getting to the end. How important is this to the end game? But I did like it. Sorry.
The new information for me, and correct me if I'm wrong, and is, you know, double L's, please, let me hear about it on Twitter if I'm making a horrible mistake here. But I don't recall Quinlan Quinlan's mortality being tied to the Masters. I thought because
I agree with that.
Because of the ancients, and there was a loophole here. I mean, and maybe I don't remember all of how they're all, you know, related, that family tree. But that was new information for me, and if it's not new, it was a great reminder. So I appreciate it.
Did you feel from last week that you had a good, strong connection to Louisa, this poor woman?
I mean, my connection to Louisa was not as strong as Quinlan's last week. But now I have a question, though. She does not seem to be no ill effects.
Of the adult content.
Yeah, of the...
in adult situations she was in with Mr. Quinlan last week.
After hours.
Mr. Quinlan can not only control his tongue, but he can also control the worms on that tongue. You know, we have seen the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly got taken out just by one little worm getting into her eyeball.
Right.
But it's not just that Mr. Quinlan has total control over himself, but these parasites that are in him... He seemingly can control them, so they don't go in.
That is a great point. Also, back in those days, the ladies, they wore a lot of corsets, and there were a lot of layers to the dresses, so maybe that helped protect her.
It was Strigoi safety back then.
Yes, it was.
Practice safe Strigoi.
That's the only way to do it. So they're going out. They're about to have a night out in the town.
He is experiencing what I believe we're led to believe after centuries of being alive, he's experiencing the human condition, being a part of society. He's going to the theater. You can see this has warmed him up so much. The fact that this Borno, as Fett likes to call him, Strabone, as we like to jokingly call him, here he has, in the centuries of fighting the Master, is introduced to human warmth, human touch.
A human desire, perhaps?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. That is a great... Mork, you should have your PhD.
I should.
In tainted blood, because you nailed it, the big theme of this. And you see that he and the Master do have this odd relationship. We don't know why exactly the Master ends up in 1888 London. We know he's going to end up in Germany in a bit. In a bit, meaning 50 or so years for World War II. But the fact that Strabone is there, and now the Master's here, and the Master is turning people. You talked about how this could be Jack the Ripper. When we first see these evil minions, the evil Strigoi, attacking somebody in an alleyway, which Strabone notices, maybe this is a spin on Jack the Ripper. And it's like the Master knows that Quinlan is getting relationships, and so he's like, no. Screw this. I've got to ruin it. And ruin it he does.
Now, even though this is my favorite flashback, it did raise a question. How might have the Master gotten across the English Channel?
Great point. He can't move himself, but like he got across the Atlantic Ocean on the plane in the very first episode, maybe if he converts himself to the dirt in the infamous box...
Okay.
And this would have been the box before Satrakian's box, obviously. So,
right. All right. Just a thought.
No, I think they're great points. And as soon as Mr. Quinlan sees these hideous beasts, he knows that the gig is up. He's got to go to the double L's.
Double L's?
Louisa and Lydia.
Are they listening?
And then tell them that he has to leave.
Yeah.
He has to leave. And he does have to.
Right.
Even if this is his first real warmth, first real friendship, first real romance, obviously, he's smart enough, he knows the Master well enough that I've got to leave. This is the classic hero trope. I've got to leave you, woman I love, to go fight the greater good. Did you feel pain for him? Did you feel pain for her? Because Louisa's really upset about this. She slaps Mr. Quinlan for leaving.
She sure did. Yeah, I actually did. I mean, this seemed like, and some of it is the way that, you know, Quinlan, I mean, he's, I don't know, 1,000 years old or 2,000 years old. You know, so he does have this, when we're with him in, you know, today, he does have like a real formal, you know, very regal bearing. Somehow he seemed at home in, you know, in late 19th century London.
I mean, and in makeup.
And in,
he wore this makeup just as well as I-Course does.
And I hate to say it, he wore that wig better than Passive Aggressive F. but so yeah, I was sad for him because this did seem like this was this he felt most comfortable here.
Did you know that this was going to end in tragedy?
Yeah.
We knew, yeah, you did know. That's, even though you enjoyed it, you knew.
Right.
Obviously, he couldn't kill the Master because the Master exists in the current timeline of the show. And if he couldn't kill him, and if he's leaving the family to kill them, you know, A plus B equals dead double L.
Double L?
Louisa and Lydia.
Oh, right.
I think you just want to keep seeing if I know these characters' names. I'm going to keep saying till I really know them. Because it went out bad. Now, as much as I like this flashback too, when he confronts the Master, mm-hmm. Oh my, he pulled a classic every person on this show. Because we can't kill the Master, there isn't a show without the Master. He comes into this opium den. Mm-hmm. The Master is draining some delicious blood.
Oh, sure.
Just come up, sneak in behind him, cut off his head.
Yeah.
Why talk? Why do anything? Just come up, cut off his head. The show's over. History is saved.
Right.
But no.
Let's go to the theater.
When you come in, you've got to talk some trash before you do anything. You've got super speed. You could have, you know, the guy's eating. You know, he gets distracted when he's eating. But Quinlan messed up. And so as much as I like this flashback, that point of it just drove me nuts. Because it's like he's pulling the same mistakes that our heroes have made, which we've seen over three seasons.
Well, here's what I'm going to throw right back in your face, Bubba.
All right.
So we learn, at least we learn or are reminded of the fact that, you know, when Quinlan explains to one of the double L's.
Loyal listeners?
No.
Okay, sorry.
One of Louisa or Lydia that... if the Master dies, he will die too.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps for the first time in his 600, 700, 800 years of being alive, Louisa and Lydia have given him a reason to want to live. So that's why he's hesitating.
Oh, boy. I totally accept that, Mork. I think that's a great reason.
Moving on.
But no. I do. And yet, I want you to answer a question. So all now, right. Listeners, if you happen to have this section queued up, I want you to go to this moment where Quinlan has been thrown to the ground, yep. And you think the Master's going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And then where exactly does he stab the Master, Mork? It looks like he stabs him
in the Strigoi.
In the little Strigoi. It sure does. Thank God he doesn't have anything there because he just got stabbed in the little boy's Strigoi.
Yeah.
Look at his face. This is hilarious, guys. This is 47 minutes into the episode. The Master, when he gets stabbed right in the where
painful.
He should have genitals, this right. is youch.
Do you? I mean, I do wonder, you know, like. And I don't want to get too off track here.
I do. Look at him get stabbed.
But when these guys are rehearsing this, I mean, like, you know, like, it's not going to be... I mean, what we're seeing is it's got music, it's finished,
the lighting
is perfect. But when they're filming this, it's one guy with a crazy wig dressed up like Oscar Wilde, and the other guy dressed up...
It's Quasimodo.
Quasimodo. He's got a tent over himself. He's got big old fingers. So I would imagine that'd be fun to be there in person when this thing is being
You made. Stabbed me where I should have a penis. Why, how could you? So is that why the Master doesn't kill Quinlan? Because maybe he needs Quinlan to be alive somehow. Now, that I really don't see how that's true. But the Master could have gotten rid of him. He's got a knife through him.
Yeah, and Quinlan. But Quinlan is his son, and so maybe he's wants to keep him around to turn him into the Master. We don't know exactly.
Like any parent, he just wants to, wants to talk trash to his son.
Talk trash and kill his in-laws.
I don't like this girl you married who already has a kid, son.
Yeah, exactly. She is. She's no good. She's not. She's too much of a strumpet for our man Quinlan. So he races home, and
before he wipes them out, he gets rid of his makeup. Any thoughts on that? Is it like him saying, "Okay, for a while I acted like somebody I wasn't. I need to be me," And because I wasn't me, these poor people got killed. Is that what this is? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think so. I mean, he wears the exact same clothes, though. And he's going to – I mean, he's going to walk around with everything really except for, you know, the wig and the makeup. You know, but he's got the clothes. He's got the top hat. He walks around at night to conceal his identity. So it's not like he's really been himself previously. But, yeah, I mean, he's got to do it. And I did enjoy these sort of the Strigoi effects, the turning effects.
Oh yeah, with
the
them
clicking and the shuddering.
Oh, loved them on the bed. Loved it.
That was really cool. So,
you know what? I really wish he hadn't killed Louisa, just because I think the guy who follows her dating, mm-hmm. you know, whatever I do, I won't be as bad as Mr. Quinlan.
Probably
well,
not.
Listen, I know Mr. Quinlan, you loved him a lot, but look how you turned out.
You're the best, Bubba.
That is sad but true, Bubba. It's sad but true.
All right, so I believe we need to go back and follow Quinlan in present
yes.
day, since right. we've spent so much time in him. Let's finish up Quinlan, because what do we know? I've mocked Eichhorst for 3.5 seasons, soon to be 4 seasons, but he's one of the best things on this show.
Definitely.
And even if it doesn't make any sense that he is suddenly in the Dakotas after all he's been through.
Right.
When he steps into the frame in the first minute of the show,
oh,
it's golden. You know this is going to be a great episode.
Yeah. No, he's not. We've talked about this, how he is really underused and you know, and honestly, it's sort of a tricky position because in the beginning, before the master was really out of the coffin or out of the bed or mm-hmm. out of the dirt or whatever,
yeah.
I mean, Eichhorst really had to do all the heavy lifting.
Exactly
for
right.
them.
Great call.
And then now he's, you know, the master can go wherever he wants. You know, he's not F. He's not these other guys. So he's sort of, he is still, unfortunately for him, you know, middle management, but it's great to see him out and about. I'm glad that we just sort of focused on him. I kind of feel bad for him. I mean,
why do you feel bad for him? Because he's just had such a rough 3.5 years.
He's
losing body parts.
He's starting to remind me a little bit of Eugene Levy in Splash. I'm waiting for him to yell, "What a week I'm having!"
Oh, that is a great you know? Reference. Splash is a good movie. Listeners, if you haven't checked that, oldie but a goodie out. That's a great call, Moore.
But
that said, why am I so nitpicky on this show? Because this show is fun. Eichhorst kicking butt is fun. But by the show's own rules, why doesn't Eichhorst just turn them all? He wants information from them.
Exactly.
If I turn them into Strigoi, the
master... More eyes and ears.
Right. The master, I can read their thoughts. And mm-hmm. so the master will know everything. But no, instead, I've got to kidnap one.
Maybe he's not turning them so the master won't know how slow he's been, how he didn't bother to go to Philadelphia or to passive Pennsylvania, and how he's gone straight there. So maybe he's hiding because he's been slacking off or something. But
and he has one desire, and it's to talk trash.
Oh,
he
yeah.
loves talking trash. The one yeah. you remain, you know, there are three guys here. I've got good news and bad news. Good news is I'll take that truck off your hands. The bad news is I only need one of you alive.
Why can't he drive?
Reasons.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Touche.
Reasons because we need him to be able to – he's so great at taunting.
That is true.
Let him – it doesn't make sense why he doesn't just turn them and get their information. Doesn't make sense that he can't drive. Later in the episode, we see him driving himself.
Yeah.
But that leads to the trash talking. We love it so much. So – our team of Dakota heroes, they have got the nuclear bomb, and boy, people hate how I say the word wrong, nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
And they are ready to get a plane, and at the beginning of the episode, even though it's got Eichhorst, I'm beginning to get worried. There always seems to be, oh, there's a problem. Oh, here we go. We just got to get a plane. Why not just go get the plane? But no, there is this other issue. That the good old Dooley is there at the airfield,
mm-hmm.
and yet another issue that is so important it'll leave us on a cliffhanger for a commercial.
Oh boy,
what are we going to do with Charlotte?
Yeah,
thoughts about these storylines, Mark.
I mean, I felt like that particular, the way that they execute it was a little clumsy, but it did inspire, you know, all of Quinlan's flashbacks. So I was okay with it. But yeah, I didn't really. I mean, here's the thing also with it, in terms of like how. Is there a happily ever after anymore in this world? So as far as like, you know, a couple like getting old, growing old together, like that, I don't know if that really exists. So I didn't have an expectation of Charlotte and Fett staying together, particularly since I've seen how long Fett's, sexy Fett's previous relationships had lasted. So
hey, it doesn't matter what
Gus,
it doesn't matter
Gus,
what
you and Charlotte are not together.
Listen, hey. Hey, Charlotte.
Oh, I see the badge. Sorry.
It doesn't matter what Quinlan wants. It doesn't matter what I want. It matters what you want. But importantly, it's also what I want. So yeah. I want you to come to New York with me. I'll show you all the places I killed rats.
Only if you want to, and only if you want to risk me losing my life. But really, if you want to, I mean, Fett here out passive aggressive. I mean, I hate to say this.
Yeah.
Sexy Fett has become passive aggressive Fett.
Well, I saw how great Doctor was. Hey, Doctor. Hey, Professor. Hey, Doctor. You guys have girls. I'll keep doing this. I've had Dutch in the bread truck.
Sure.
I have not had the women that F has had.
No, that is true.
I want a happily ever after, if you know what I mean, with women.
Happily fetter after. So Fett has scored in a bread truck and also in this camper thing.
Did you just break up with me?
No. That was definitely, for a moment there, I mean, it did feel like, you know, Fett was doing his best Chandler or Ross impression. I couldn't pin down which.
That's because he's a big fan of Friends with Benefits.
Oh, you Bubba. That is dangerous, but also true.
All right, so let's get on to it. I love that Charlotte, this character who has just shown up here in season 4, and who in this episode I finally felt like I could grow to like, rather than her just being a new member of the team who we're not going to learn too much about. But I love that she said, you're going on a suicide mission. Later, loser.
Right.
I'm hitting Montana.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was great. I mean, it was refreshing that it wasn't. And, you know, for me also, it was sort of like, yeah, let's get rid of, I mean, you know, she's great, and I think that actress is doing a fine job. But, you know, she's not really part of the gang. Get rid of her so we can get our gang back together. I mean, I hate to, you know, whinge about it a little, as the Hound might say, but we've got 4 more hours and our gang is not back together yet. That does make me
great
a little nervous.
Great point. Let's just burn through kind of the plots to where it gets real fun and actiony at the airport. So I mentioned that I-Corps, poor man's Christoph Waltz,
yeah,
loves talking trash.
He does.
And this member of Chippewa Nation, shout out Central Michigan.
Hell yeah.
He's getting all this trash talking about how you're betraying your other humans. At a certain point, this is a bit like the Emperor constantly mocking Luke. Yes, Luke, turn to the dark side. What are you doing? You're killing me. Wait a minute.
Why would you ever want to do that?
And so,
also, yeah, the guy driving the car,
yes,
is probably not the guy.
So the first step is to alert our heroes that I-Corps is there via the CB. Then the second step, which he doesn't know how fast. I'm going to give him a pass. He doesn't know how fast poor man's Christoph Waltz really is. So his thought process, hey, I'm just going to get the car going real fast, maybe get it out of control, I'll jump out.
Yeah.
It's a fine plan, but of course, I-Corps has some plot armor
that is
going to prevent this from succeeding. But I still love that moment.
Yeah, no, It did raise a question for me, though, and I don't know if we've ever really talked about it, but he does his maneuver, and he tries to run away, but I-Corps already catches up to him because he's super fast, and then, you know, he sucks him dry. Can Strigoi get full? I mean, I-Corps is a very svelte, thin guy.
Right.
And he's eaten 3 full-grown men.
Liquid diet.
It's a liquid diet, but, you know, I've never seen I-Corps. There's no.
And when I say liquid diet, emphasis on die.
That is unfortunately true, but it's so delicious. So it just made me wonder. I mean, you know, they talk about not going swimming 30 minutes after eating. Somehow I thought that maybe not.
Should you not operate automatic rifles 30 minutes after sucking somebody with your tongue worm?
Nothing over 22 caliber, which this super gun definitely was.
But, so let's give it up for Dooley.
Oh, good old Dooley.
Who is just a roadblock for a little bit of time. Thank God that he's not delaying our heroes too much. The heroes should tell him, hey, Dooley.
Right.
We'll trade you a lot of stuff, but we really only have 4 episodes left. So let us in. Let us get to the plane.
You can have all of these props from these previous episodes, and you guys can do. Now, I was a little surprised, though, that Dooley recognized Roman, who has grown a complete hipster beard in one episode. I mean, this is pretty impressive. It might be from the nuclear fallout, but still.
How about Dooley? Dooley turns real quick, like...
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You guys are collaborators. Let me kill you.
Yeah.
I would kill you if I was one of the bad ones. Okay. So right this way, guys. Here's your plane. Here's your plane.
Yeah. Here's the cafeteria.
And what was really sad is when Charlotte went to Dooley, you help us and we'll give you all the silver in the back of this truck.
I've already looked in the truck. There's no silver. Wait a minute. No. So, but that was one thing also where it seemed like These folks, well, especially Sexy Fat and Charlotte, have been traveling with Strabone for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You think they get good at, hey, don't freak out. We've got Strabone, who might look like a bad guy, but he's really not.
You'd One think, of the first things you would say.
That would
be. Or put a scarf over your face here, Strabone. We gotta keep the locals happy.
Yeah, he's not a Strigoi. He's just a leper. So just leave him alone. No, so they don't get along too well right away, but they hit their stride.
Come with me, nah. Fett, to nah. the Montana cabin.
Wait, I gotta do this thing, this suicide thing first. Right after I do the suicide thing, I'll be right there, Charlotte.
Done.
So
I'll see you then.
Charlotte, who was, you're going on a suicide mission later, loser, suddenly becomes... Come with me, Sexy Fat.
Yeah, there was a little bit of, I think each of them were, I mean, look, this happens when you're saying goodbye to someone, you know, you want to stay, you want to go, you want to stay. This is all very, you know, if only Sexy Fat could get some sort of romantic advice from millennia-old demon with creepy long nails. If only the master...
Or Zach 2.0. Either way,
or
they
the
both
master.
Have different ways with women. That's This whole show is about,
it's all about
relationships
love.
With women.
This is the Valentine's
Sexy
Day
Fat,
episode.
Quinlan, and Zach 2.0. That's totally true. So because it was very late in the episode, I was wondering, well, when are we going to get Ikor's back? When are we going to get to this plane taking off? This show, I've said it a million times, it can do fun, silly action. Eichhorst having the time of his life in the back of a pickup truck firing automatic sniper rifles. His gleeful way he shoots this gun is all we need to see. Him, the glee he had in trying to drive this car into the plane, I love it. This is what it's about. R.I.P. Dooley.
Poor Dooley. He went out. I mean, that was Dooley picked the wrong guy to miss. You know,
right? That is a great call.
You know,
but Dooley went out. Dooley went out the way he lived in this episode.
In this episode. So now Charlotte takes out Eichhorst, and so he's
not able totally. Keep shooting, Charlotte.
Right.
Love you, Charlotte, but keep shooting.
Yeah. So she's gloating. So I'm going to assume that, all right, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to call my shot.
Let's hear it.
I think Eichhorst is going to capture her, and he's going to try to use her as bait back in NYC.
Oh, no. He totally could. That is a great shot.
That would be my
guess.
That's
like a shot from Charlotte. It's so strong, but it makes me feel bad
but
for Charlotte.
But it doesn't quite kill you.
You wonder if there aren't any planes going. Eichhorst is going to be real tired by the time he gets back. But Oh, man. That is tough. So is there no happy ending? I talked earlier this season on our podcast about how where is the woman who's going to survive all these seasons? It's not Abby. I mean, Dutch is the only one. They kill women all the time. And so I would like, because Charlotte did grow on me in this episode, if she could somehow survive. But sadly, I think you're right, Mork. That would be a great twist that would explain why we spent so much time getting to know her over these first six episodes. And so,
well, we'll see.
Spoiler alert, Mork, good work.
We will see. That'd be my guess. I hate to say it. I wish her nothing but the best. But yeah. So, yeah. You know, I didn't have like the greatest, you know, in terms, you know, when you're that quadruple P age, you know, sometimes, sometimes you don't get the certain advice you need at the right time.
And, but I'm still lost. What do you mean?
Well, there's, before the Strigoi showed up, there were a couple of animals that inhabited planet Earth. One animal was part of the birds family.
Okay.
And the other animal was part of the bees family. Hmm. And there was some very useful life lessons that could be gleaned from learning about these two animals. Zach seems to have probably received the worst birds and the bees chat of all time.
Wait a minute. Zach was in this episode? I just thought suddenly it switched to a John Hughes movie.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. Zach 2.0.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
So wait, he's not in a John Hughes movie? Because this is totally...
Well, there was that John Hughes movie where there's the guy who likes the girl and he can't figure out how to go out with her, so he gives her a bag with one plum in it. So Zach's pulling up.
I took it the other way. I thought Zach 2.0, he said to his feeler, "This is Abby. She's the Breakfast Club."
Just not yet. Right. Just not yet.
She's pretty in pink dung.
Oh, okay.
Pretty in plum.
So he... Oh, it's classic.
Did you see where this story was going? I thought at the beginning when Zach 2.0 is really doing some awkward first date talk. Take me to the place where your parents died in the blast.
Yeah. That's good.
As we're walking to your new place, let me tell you about how I hate my dad and my mom got killed.
And my mom turned. But I knew she was never going to hurt me because the master told me that, you know, the guy who's responsible for the entire destruction of our planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, this was not the greatest, kiss at the doorstep while the lights are flashing on and off, of a first date. But...
Well, but what about their second date? Hey, remember how you used to have a problem and only wanted to eat plums?
Well, no. The problem was you only wanted to eat plum. He gives her one plum and, you know, shows up later. And they have divvied up this plum. I mean, I've never seen a plum cut into so many small slices.
Oh, man.
It's impressive.
When you found out that a girl you liked was dating somebody else. Mm-hmm. Were you upset with the girl or you really hated the guy? Like, why didn't Zach send his feeler to take out her boyfriend so then he would be the only option? That's what I did. I mean, I would have done when I was that age.
That is a great call, actually. And it does make me wonder, okay, to what extent is Zach 2.0 being manipulated by the master? Because then why? You know, I mean, why is the master treating Zach 2.0 so well? He doesn't, I mean, if he needs him for something, to draw in F, okay, maybe that's one thing. But he doesn't need to treat him, he doesn't need to give him all those video games, Abby, the feeler, the cool apartment.
Zach 2.0 came home the other day. He told me it's gonna be okay when the F's in the cradle and the silver spoon. You're gonna eat Ruby, and here is the moon. It's an eclipse. Well, don't know when, but we'll get together then, Zach 2.0. You know we'll have a good time then. All right, so I don't think the master is having, you know, like, my other son, Quinlan, is a real jerk.
Right.
I like you, Zach 2.0.
He's trying to replace him. I I can't really get my finger on it yet. I don't really understand it.
One thing you could get your finger on, Mork, and I feel like I have to mention it, because I love it when the strain does stuff like this. As Zach is on this terrible non-date, as they're walking across the city, they step across a poster of everybody's favorite councilwoman from Staten Island, right?
Staten Island.
Ferraro. Oh, loved her. Loved Geraldine I keep wanting to call her the official.
Feraldo.
Oh, love it so much. Zach, after he goes on this first date, he turns to the only person who can give him some advice and to get some white. You know, it's not cool to be wheezing around your girlfriend.
No. You want her to know that you have a lot of cardiovascular strength. It's why girls like soccer players.
So who do you like, Zach Duport? The servant girl, Abby?
Well, see, that's a little Master Palmer.
Yes.
Now, I seem to recall Master Palmer getting busy in a Burger King bathroom with Dear Coco, who was basically your servant. So
the servant girl, Coco?
Yeah.
Did she share your feelings like Coco shared mine, Zach 2.0?
Well, not yet. Not yet. But maybe. Maybe one day. If I give her another half of a plum. I don't want to come on too strong by giving her two whole plums, but maybe one and a half plums would show her that I really care.
Listen to me. I've studied human beings for longer than any other person. You need to ask her what she desires.
Well, you're probably a good person to give me advice on how to get to second or third base with Abby, considering that you don't have any genitalia at all and have probably never even had sex in the 3,000 years that you've been alive, Master.
You think that, Zach 2.0, but you know what I have a lot of experience with doing?
I don't want to know.
Necking. Get it? See, I stick my tongue worm to their neck and then...
Oh.
Do you understand the joke?
It's
a joke. You're my boy.
Have you heard about dad humor, Master? Because that's kind of what that was. You're not as cool as you think, Dad. I gotta hang with my friends. Feeler and the rat and the snake. those are my real friends. If it doesn't work out with Abby, I'm going to be just fine.
So Zach is waiting for his girl to show up. We have this great montage of him getting ready. Now, this is very true. This is very true to boys.
Oh, yeah.
Men, everybody, you want to look nice when somebody you like is going to be around. And so he's trying to get that my hair is not, you know, it's not messy, but it's kind of Harry Styles-esque look.
Yeah.
Got to get it right. Got to get my best flannel shirt. And he gets antsy because his girl's coming. Why isn't she here yet?
Yeah.
The stupid chef's here, but she is not here.
She's not here. So I mean, this...
Ooh, do you just show up at your girl's place? Oh, man, I don't know.
I've learned this is the equivalent of, going through a loved one's, Instagram or Twitter or whatever,
yeah.
MySpace. You know, there's just certain things you don't want to stick your nose into, but... Before we get to the real heartbreak, I have a somewhat delicate but also sincere question that I want to ask you, Bubba.
Let's hear it.
All right. You're a quadruple P, as we've talked about, and your hormones are going out of control. You are madly deeply in love with an older woman. I mean, she's an older girl. I mean, you're 12, she's probably 15 or 16. So,
listen,
your mind is going into all sorts of places. You're a little nervous. So,
I may be petty,
mm-hmm.
petulant, hitting puberty, and a pervert.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I really do well is I push plums.
you're a hextuple pig.
I'm getting there.
Oh man, so. But would you try to, shall we say, master your own domain with a feeler in the next room?
Oh, man.
I don't think there would be any sort of, I think having a strigoi or a feeler next would kill every single sexual impulse, like, in your entire body. Like, I don't know how having a feeler around or being surrounded by a strigoi
Yeah.
wouldn't interfere with Zach and I guess it's kind of charming, and it shows how much of a romantic he is that
totally.
He still believes in true love when being surrounded by such disgusting beasts. But anyway.
I would also say that's true of the feeler.
Oh, that... Hey.
Poor Zach 2.0.
Oh, I thought you meant the feeler having to be around that dirty, dirty chef.
Poor chef. All right, so as soon as that boyfriend appeared on the scene...
Yeah, no good.
I knew Abby was in for a bit of trouble. She was going to take a turn for the worst. Mm-hmm. And I love that the show is going there with Zach 2.0. The silliness that Zach 2.0... After Abby is being eaten by the feeler, sucked dry by the feeler, he has to, I can't look at it. I'm going to go over here and put my hands over my ears.
Very petulant.
I didn't like that, but I knew she was dead. This was so great. I did everything that I'm supposed to do.
It does make me a little bit nervous, though. And I think, Bubba, it should make you nervous, considering,
what do you mean?
Like Abby, how much you prefer Zach 1.0. So, I don't have the eagle eye that you have, Bubba, but was possibly Abby's boyfriend played by Zach 1.0?
That would be the worst. Okay, then I'm for, Turner. Turner, sure. If she's gonna get with the other actor who portrayed my character, suck her dry.
Not even fair.
Give her some worms.
Not even fair. So, yeah.
Oh,
so
does Abby not read this situation? Oh, my gosh. Now, admittedly, we all knew it was going to happen. But when she pulls but you're just a kid.
Yeah.
And then he pulls a kid move. I'm not a kid. Smash my plate with my sketty, my yummy sketty on it. And then she says, I'm not cleaning that up.
Yeah.
Is she nuts? Dude. Dude, you got to play this smarter, Abby.
Well.
I hate to blame you for this, but you've seen this as a guy who is working with the Sturgoys.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair, but also, like, when your best day in the last 6 months was because you got to share 1/16th of a plum with your boyfriend, like, you know what? Maybe you just can't take it anymore, and you're okay. You're okay pushing back and speaking truth to power. And it doesn't end up well for poor
dude,
Abby.
Dude, no, it doesn't. Let me just say, Abby, you needed to learn the it's not you, it's me routine. Mm. You needed to learn anything else.
Yeah.
And this feeler, the tongue that it shoots out is longer than its entire body. This is a tongue that is really draining Abby real good.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It's horrifying.
So... let me ask you a question, since you've asked me a couple.
Yes, Bubba?
Yes or no?
Yes.
End of the season, Zach 2.0's dead.
Oh, I mean, this is a pure evil move. Like, there's no more ambiguity to you know, Zach 2, 3, 4.0 as a character. So, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, this is a pure evil move. So, I think...
How's he going to go, then? Is he going to go in the atomic blast? Is he going to go...
I think F's going to you know, push him off a building or something. I think F's going to kill him.
Boy, that would be incredibly emotional. Maybe F will drag him off a building together, and they'll fall off the Chrysler building together.
Oh, or they could be on a taller building and then fall onto the Chrysler building as fire, and then they can... But there is still this possibility that, you know, we talked about this as sort of a wacky theory that, you know, the master will, you know, take over Zach 2.0's body. And then F
he's taken
really...
over his brain every time he shows up as the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly.
Yeah.
He's playing mind tricks on Zach 2.0.
Now, I don't know if you are the wonderful actress
Natalie Brown.
Natalie Brown.
Oh,
Golden,
my God.
Golden Maple Leaf winner, Natalie Brown.
Listeners may not like me pulling a Zach 2.0 and just drooling because I always think this actress is so wonderful. She had kind of a thankless part in the first season, mm-hmm. until she turned, and now that they've allowed her to be a villain, she's just a great villain. Still very lovely, but evil.
But that's the thing. That's not her. That's the master.
Get out.
I hate to break
no,
it to
no,
you,
it
buddy.
Is the master.
It is the master.
But
so...
you know what? If the master looks like that,
You're okay with it.
Turn me, baby.
Turn around every now and then. Speaking of eclipses. No, but so if you're Natalie Brown, would you be kind of annoyed that in my mind, I always thought she's, you know, very, very lovely. But for me, I don't – she looks – the best on the show that I think I remember her seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And the time you look the best on the show is when you're being inhabited by the master. Like, I wouldn't like that. If I was
Natalie
like Brown.
It exfoliates the skin is when the master is in you.
Yeah,
but is the master really – the master is not really in her. The master is like doing a psychic projection into Zach 2.0's brain, right?
I think that's the master.
Because he can't see the hands.
Right, because he's got the hands, though. So that is the master.
Oh, no, it is the master. But what I'm saying, Zach is seeing and hearing the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly.
Oh, my God. Do you know what would be really horrible that the master could have done?
Let's
see. The master could have pretended to be Abby.
I thought we might actually have gone there.
That would have been so awful.
Any thoughts on Abby in her new look? She's got kind of a goth look going on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was in high school, like, during grunge, so that's...
Man, you're old.
Oh, tell me about it. But that is definitely, yeah, no, that's...
No, you're right. It looks like she could be a member of Hole.
Yeah, no, she's definitely either the bass player in Hole, maybe L7.
Oh, that would be good, yeah.
Breeders, maybe, possibly. She could have been the Breeders. But, no, she's... I hope we don't get to see her, you know, too tortured.
No, she's with us till the end. Don't you think, turned Abby, that the master's going to leave Abby around and to torture Zach 2.0 or keep Zach 2.0 in line?
Well, you know, here's what I am, even though I can't stand him at this point because he was so cruel to this poor young girl, my fear is that Zach is going to, you know, Zach will do what F did to his mom, and he's going to kill her. Or he's going to chop off her head or, you know, whatever.
Would that not be a mercy killing at this point since she's strigoid up?
I suppose, but just the idea of, you know, there are other shows where there are young kids who, you know, sort of turn into killers. And there's, you know, Hunger Games, there's big movies and all that. This... It's happened so quickly and it is kind of petulant, you know, where it really does rub me the wrong way. I'm more okay with a nuclear bomb going off in New York City than
get a rope, get a nuke
than him, you know, letting the feeler take out his unrequited love.
Hmm. All right, so if a feeler looked like Lovely Abby and you were a teenage boy, how far would you go? First base, second base?
I'd go all the way to Niagara Falls.
Dang.
Yeah.
You are really going to get some tongue action. See this? I've got a million of these. No. Act 2.0. They make me your dad.
No, master. That's just
let's play catch. Catch some... Humans get it because we catch them and we eat them. Zach, I got a million of these. I'm here all week.
Look, I just want to get another plum so I can get another girlfriend. Okay, can you just give me one more plum? I'll take some of the white, but give me a plum. That's all I need. Can I just borrow the plum tonight?
There's a plum in my pocket. Just reach in and get it.
Nope, not falling for that one again.
All right, so that was it. We have a lot of fun mocking it, but this is an episode that was really. Fun does so much of what the strain does well. We've only got, this is incredible,
it's
only
crazy.
Four more episodes left. How is it possible? Where could we go? Next week, I can't even pronounce next week's title. Can you say how that's pronounced, Mork?
Ouroboros?
Ouroboros.
I'm not sure.
So, for season 4, episode 7, with his health failing.
Oh, some of the gang's getting back together. Do we want to spoil that? Well, I just did.
Okay, so listeners, here's a short description how they describe next week's episode.
Don't say the actual names.
With his health failing, a certain character ignores another character's warnings and pushes himself to the limit in his quest for victory and revenge.
Oh.
Fett and Quinlan race back to Manhattan. That's not really a spoiler.
Yeah.
While the master seals off the city. And prepares to eliminate them all. That also isn't a spoiler. So really just certain characters, we won't say who.
Well, them all as in our gang of heroes, or them all as in everyone in New York City?
Including myself.
Okay. Do you think that Fett and Quinlan racing back to Manhattan will just be them in the plane like every 5 minutes? Are we there yet? Nope. Cut away, then cut back. How about now? Nope.
Hey, pilot. It's me, sexy Fett. Are yes. we there yet?
We're still flying, Fett.
I can't see with that badge in my face.
Hey, flight attendant. I'd rather have the pretzels than the peanuts.
Fett, stop talking to the nuclear bomb. It's not a flight attendant.
Hey, imaginary Charlotte. It's me, sexy
Fett, you're talking to Roman's beard. Please leave it alone. He knows how to use the nuclear weapon. Do not annoy him.
All right, so... really fun stuff. Let's have fun with these final four episodes. Listeners, you are so kind to download the Got Your Milk podcast. We want to talk to you. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/OOP podcast. All your thoughts about what you want to see in these final four episodes, give them to us. Our good friends, the wonderful podcast Geek Girl Soup, every Sunday night, they tweet out so many hilarious tweets about The Strain. Love them.
At Geek Girl Soup.
At right? Geek Girl Soup on Twitter. So funny, so great. We've spent 4 years getting to this point. We're going to finally, in the next 4 hours, read the Akkado Lumen.
Absolutely. Well, in the meantime, waiting for the Trinultimate, waiting for next week, we will read the Akkado Lumen. If we find anything helpful, we'll share it with all of our double L's.
Louisa and Lydia?
Yes.
Okay. For everyone here, my name is Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And Mark is at Extraordinary. That's extraordinary with the W in front of the final R. And we will see you next time
on
Got Your Milk! Seriously, like if your dad was the master and you walked in on him in the shower, like
that's not a plum.
Yeah.
That's not a plum in my pocket that you're grabbing.
Okay, I insist on putting some locks on these doors from the inside and the outside.
Wait, no. It's not me, the master. It's your mom. It's me, Kelly. I'm your mom.
No,
and
I walked in on my mom in the shower plenty of times, master. I'm not falling for this.
I'm so jealous. Is that your point?